Hey there, this is Seth Juarez coming to you live from Building 17, Room 26 to be precise. And I'm excited to have a couple of guests. People here, and then also people out in the internet somewhere. Hello, in locations unknown. We have with us Jordan Mathiasen, product manager for JavaScript Mobile Tooling. Welcome, my friend. We have Ryan J. Salva, Visual Studio product manager and owner of JavaScript Mobile Tooling.
Yeah.
In addition to that, you also wear another hat, that you are an Apache Cordova project contributor.
It is true. That is true.
And also we have two guests, and hopefully you'll be able to see them. Carlos Santana, who is an Apache Cordova project contributor as well, joining us via Skype from location unknown, deep in his underground bunker, I think, if that's right, Carlos.
Kind of looks like he's in a Twilight movie. There's like out in Fork, Washington or something. Yeah.
And then we also have Raymond Camden, Apache Cordova project contributor, who is also a member of the Imperial Stormtrooper Guard. We're pretty excited to have all of them here with us. Again, this is all about you who are watching. We want to take your questions about Apache Cordova, but I thought we'd start with just sort of a little simple, what is Apache Cordova? Why should you consider it? We'll get from project contributors, obviously, why it's a cool tool, and then maybe what we're doing as a company to help people use Apache Cordova. Let's start with you, Ryan.
Sure, yeah, totally. So, plain and simple, Apache Cordova is a system for packaging apps using HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. And really, it's for any JavaScript developer who wants to enter into the mobile ecosystem and develop mobile applications, but they don't want to go out and learn, I don't know, C Sharp, iOS, like Swift or Java for Android, that kind of thing. And so really, Microsoft's role in this is both as a contributor to the open source Apache Cordova project, making sure that it's a stable, reliable platform that works for consumer devices, or rather consumer applications and enterprise applications. But then, of course, we also have a lot of tools as well. So we have the Visual Studio line of tools for sort of typically larger organizations that are normalizing across an IDE, across multiple project types, and they want to be able to support both Cordova tooling, and they want to support ASP.NET tooling and C# tooling, .NET tooling. Mm-hmm. But then we also, as of about a week ago, 10 days ago, also have an extension for VS Code for JavaScript developers who really are more accustomed to using things like, I don't know, Sublime or Vim or Atom, and want a lightweight text editor that is designed specifically for Cordova tooling. And so we added in a lot of really neat, cool stuff that we'll talk about later. But that's Microsoft's role inside of Apache Cordova.
All right, let's get some commentary from some of the other contributors, Raymond and Carlos. Tell us a little bit about sort of how you feel, what you think of Apache Cordova, and why it's kind of an interesting tool. Let's start with Raymond, and then we'll go with Carlos. Go ahead, Raymond.
Sure. I got into Cordova before it was even there, when it was just PhoneGap, maybe 3 or 4 years or so ago. I had just joined Adobe at that time and was working on Flex Mobile, and that was before something happened to Flex Mobile, and it kind of went away. So that's also when we acquired PhoneGap. So I was given the time and the direction to just go crazy and learn about it, and I just loved it. It was reusing my existing skills. It was building on mobile, and you know, 4 or so years ago, that was extremely hot. It's still hot now, and it's just been my primary passion area for a couple of years now, and I've really enjoyed it so far.
So what is it about Apache Cordova for you, Raymond, that was like, oh man, this is really cool. We should all be doing mobile application development this way.
Well, you know, I'm definitely not opposed to writing things in Java or Objective-C. I have a lot of respect for both of those languages. I find the web to be just a bit easier for me. I can build things quicker. I'm more productive. I can do cooler things using those technologies. So being able to build for devices with Cordova just enables me to get stuff done. And I'm a huge believer in supporting things that allow you to get things done.
Awesome. So let's go to Carlos, and why don't you tell us about sort of how you got into sort of the whole Apache Cordova space?
Hi. I work in IBM, so I was in a different team. I was I started as an app developer, so I was building an app for IBM to manage data centers, and this was around PhoneGap 1.4, 2009, 2010. So it was hard times. So we wanted to create an app using JavaScript HTML5. Back then was the promise, and we got it done, but it was very difficult. Then I moved to this new organization in IBM Cloud, and we have a lot of customers using JavaScript HTML CSS, and we offer different services for security, for operations. So we have a lot of contributors. We have contributed to Apache Cordova to make sure that our clients get to good open source quality. So we're around the quality, around the features. And I got involved in, actually I got involved in the first contributions I did for Apache Cordova was for getting Windows 8 working with all these plugins. And I got a tablet with WinRT and WinJS, and I learned all that stuff. And so I was able to contribute that to get Windows 8. And now that Microsoft is handling that, I can concentrate more on Android and iOS. So and the tooling, I think the tooling is very important. The Cordova CLI and the plugin ecosystem, the templates. I think that's a good way of getting the open source to a level that everybody can use and contribute. That's what we're looking also in Cordova. We want people to not just use it, but easy to contribute, easy to come in and help us.
And Carlos, you said you were working on the Windows 8 platform. Now that's the WP8 platform, right?
No, that was the first Windows 8.
Right. Or the Windows Phone one, or the
Windows RT tablets.
Oh, nice. Nice.
When the first week we went 1.0 on that thing, not that thing, but we got something booting in a Windows RT tablet.
And, That's super cool.
It showed the Cordova logo. So I worked with Jesse from Adobe on that. So I was a newbie contributing to open source and learning all this Git stuff and things like that. And
I'm with you, and dude. Git stuff. Sorry.
And I have other folks in my team. I'm the mobile architect for the tooling, so I'm more overseeing the other people working on Apache Cordova and talking to customers and the architecture of like how do we integrate best with open source instead of like not just take open source but like integrate better and make it better for everyone.
Awesome. So let's go over to Jordan because we haven't talked to you yet. Tell us a little bit about sort of the tooling story for Apache Cordova, and then I'm hoping we can get into sort of under the hood what Apache Cordova is doing from all of you who obviously know a lot about this stuff. So people can, like as a dev, I like to know what's happening under the hood so I feel a little bit more comfortable. So let's get started with the tooling that we're sort of making at Microsoft to help with this kind of development.
Yeah, so the first thing that I focus on is our Visual Studio IDE and the Cordova tooling. So what we've done there is built tooling around the open source Cordova project so that you can do have templates for creating Cordova applications while you're writing code for your app. You get IntelliSense, mm-hmm. and then you can run and get the full debug experience from Visual Studio along with like a DOM Explorer. So if you set in a web browser, developer tools, where you can use the DOM, get all that from Visual Studio. But then you also get it against any device or emulator you target for iOS, Android, and Windows development.
Right.
So you get the same kind of integrated experience you're used to in VS, but across these different device targets, all from one place.
And that's awesome, but sometimes Visual Studio can be a little much if you are working on a Mac, for example, because you can't
install it for the first place.
Good luck on that.
It seems like we want sort of everyone to be in the ecosystem of using Apache Cordova. So what are some things, Ryan, that we've done to help those on a Mac, for example, doing Apache Cordova applications?
Well, so earlier I was talking about the VS Code piece, and that's probably the most significant contribution that, from a tooling perspective, is out there today from the Microsoft team. Wow. I'm sorry. It's... I can hear my voice in my ears. It's really distracting.
Yeah, I know. I'm used to voices in my head, so it's okay. If you take one out,
that's a little bit better. Yeah. All right, sweet. We're going to try that. Yeah. So the VS Code piece is probably the most significant contribution that we've made recently. Now, there's another piece of it as well. Like, there's clearly the open source contributions that we make, but we also have a set of command line tools as well that developers can use, whether it is from the Windows side of things, things or the Mac side of things, because it's node-based, it goes everywhere.
Right.
And that's the Taco CLI. That particular piece we've actually used as a incubation kind of ground, if you will, for trying out experiments in some cases before we move them over to the open source tools. So for example, templates, which Carlos at IBM and his team helped kind of bring into Cordova over the kind of last couple months. That kind of originally started as an option for the Taco command line tools. Mm-hmm. The same thing goes with plugin penning, which recently made its way into Cordova 6, which was just released, what, 2 weeks ago, I think? That plugin penning originated in kind of an idea that was kind of took form as Taco dev kits. And that's not to say that plugin pinning in Apache Cordova is exactly the same thing, but it's solving a fundamentally the same problem that we originally tried to solve with dev kits in Taco CLI. For those that aren't already familiar with it, plugin pinning inside of Apache Cordova essentially solves the problem that when you upgrade between one version of Cordova and the next version of Cordova, let's say that you're going, like we just did, to a new version of Android that includes some changes to the security protocol for accessing native device APIs. Those changes to the security protocol mean that all of the plugins that access those native device APIs also have to change.
Right.
Well, when those plugins change, that means that they may not be compatible. God, this gets weirdly confusing.
Yeah.
They may not be compatible with previous versions of the Cordova CLI itself and the platforms. So when you upgrade, you want to upgrade both your platforms and your plugins at the same time.
Correct.
And plugin pinning is just a nice way of packaging all of the platforms and the plugins together so that when you upgrade, you don't necessarily have to upgrade this thing and that 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 thing. It's a long litany of different checks to kind of mark off. But that you're able to say, you know what, I want to upgrade all of it at the same time. And so then all of your platforms and your plugins move together in lockstep.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And so our tooling, our command line Taco tooling, allows you to sort of do that easily.
Well, it really, kind of what I want to commute there is that our command line tooling, the Taco tooling, has served as a kind of an experimental incubation place for us to try out some of those concepts before we bring them into the Apache Cordova like open source project, where it's much more likely to impact a broad number of people. And so, like today, some of the other experiments that are still in Taco CLI that may eventually make their way into Apache Cordova are things like install rex. So, you know, at your command line, Taco install rex, Android, let's say, right? And what that will do is, just like for Visual Studio, where Visual Studio takes care of installing all of the native SDKs for you, like, you know, the Android SDK and Java and NPM and all that groovy kind of stuff. Taco install rex as a command line utility will, whether you're using Visual Studio on a Windows device, mm-hmm. or you know, you're using command line based workflows on a Mac, you're able to install all those native SDKs, get them configured, so that you don't have to perform the guesswork of figuring out which Android package version do I need with this particular version of my current project.
Right.
It'll take care of it for you. So that's what the command line utilities do within kind of the Taco CLI.
That's awesome. So before we get more into, I'd love to get from Raymond and Carlos what specific contributions you folks have made to the actual Apache Cordova project, because I'm interested. Like when I hear about open source, you always think there's like this one person working on it, but there's lots of people, and I'd love to see what individuals, people's contribution are. So let's start with Carlos.
Yeah.
Carlos, or let's start with Raymond. You first, bud. Tell us a little bit about your contribution to the Apache Cordova project, and what are the things that you are working on.
So I think my contribution is being the slowest person in the entire group. I'm very good at having trouble understanding things, and when I finally understand it, I go and I blog about it and I make examples of it. So I look at my role, you know, I do less source code stuff, but I do very little of that. I do more documentation stuff and more evangelism, for example, just, you know, talking about it, writing about it, trying to make it more approachable and more understandable to people out there. Because I think, especially when PhoneGap first came out, speakers, and I definitely blame myself for this, we kind of sold it like, oh, if you know HTML, you know mobile, and you're done. And that was not true in any way whatsoever. I am trying my best to help people understand, you know, what it means to actually build a mobile app with Cordova. What are the things you have to think about? You know, everything beyond just, oh, command line, HTML, and to binary, that part's really simple. It's the actual architecture of building a good mobile application. And that's kind of where I've been focused on.
Yeah, and Ray writes extremely lucid prose. Like, he, a lot of good blog posts, good meaty stuff. And I think that, like, he is really, for me even, been the face and the kind of the voice as I myself try to come up to speed. Because Ray's been in this, like, since what? Did you say earlier, since 2009, 2010?
Yeah, all the years kind of blend in together.
Oh, they all blend together.
We're all old.
Yeah. So, like, you know, Ray's an OG, and it really has kind of helped me even come up along, and as I kind of learned the system, learned the ecosystem, learned the architecture, and learned what it actually meant to... I'm a 15-year JavaScript developer. I've always been a JavaScript developer, but I've been a web developer where there is a server-client relationship. You know, every time you navigate, it tears the DOM, builds it back up again. And so, as Ray, you were saying there, it's an entirely different thing to build a packaged application. Like, it's not just, oh, hey, I'm going to build another website. You've actually got to change the way that you think about kind of how you go back and retrieve data and store data and deal with offline and deal with all of the things that are unique to a packaged application, even though you get to leverage, you know, your fundamental skills as a JavaScript developer, it's still a different challenge, different coding challenge.
The example I give is, you know, I'm using the exact same tools, but as opposed to like building a house, I'm building a boat. And if I try to build a boat like a house, well, I'll get a house built probably, so that's a bad example.
It won't flow, right?
But it won't flow. So there you go. So yeah, it's the same tools, but it's a radically unique platform.
So Raymond, now that we've got you here, you mentioned something interesting to me, because I've seen how Apache Cordova applications sort of, you know, the file new kind of project. I've done the CLI type stuff, but you mentioned that you can't just assume that you're lifting a website and putting it into Apache Cordova. Can you tell us where some of the divergences exist so that those that are watching can be like, oh, okay, I need to think about this differently in this way? Sorry to put you on the spot, but
no, that's okay. So I think what I saw a lot of were people saying, you know, I have a PHP site that I just want to make into a mobile app. And that could be based on the fact that my audience was primarily app server based, because I did Cold Fusion, which is like PHP, like Node.js, whatever, for a very long time. So my audience was more server side web app type thing. So I saw questions like that. And you have to begin thinking about where your files are. They're actually on the device. How would they communicate with your server? Well, they still can. You can't just link to a PHP file. You can use AJAX, for example, to hit it instead. So you, like, as a PHP or ColdFusion or ASP.NET, whatever, you can still leverage those skills, but it is a fundamentally different way of working with those technologies. And I don't know if that addresses your question at all, but hopefully it helps.
I think it does. I mean, it's usually what happens is when you're writing stuff fast, and sort of, at least when I was a dev, I just sort of made it work, and then afterwards, you know, I paid down the technical debt. But there's not, it feels like you can't just do that. You can't just take what you've already done and put it in Apache Cordova. You got to think about it a little differently, as if it were a client.
Yeah, I mean, so Let's talk about the use case where you actually just have a website and you want to transfer that to become an Apache Cordova package app, right? Because that's maybe makes things a little bit more concrete and explores some of the idiosyncrasies and options that are available to a developer. So one option is that you take all of the same data sources and some of the same business logic that exists in your client-side code on your app, and you try to repackage that locally, right? In that case, this is kind of what Ray was kind of indicating about, like, now you need to change all of your data queries to be instead of server requests where it returns back HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, like a full page refresh. At that point, you need to re-architect it so that all of those requests are asynchronous calls. Mm-hmm. So instead of pulling back HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, and images, and all that stuff every time, what you're more often returning back is a small JSON object, or as small as you can get it, that returns back a data set rather than give me back my full page, right? But that's not the only option that's available to you. If you so desired, you could also build what I typically call a hosted app model, right? And with a hosted app model, this is something like what Manifold.js, for those of you that know and love Manifold.js, it so happens that Manifold.js actually uses Apache Cordova under the hood to do the packaging.
Wow.
In that model, you've still got your website that's living on a server somewhere, but it is now delivered through the web view, and by virtue of being delivered through the web view, it now has an extra special contract with the installed application. And so whereas that website would not normally get access to things like, I don't know, the accelerometer, right? Now, because there is a contract created between the packaged application and the web view, the content that's living inside of it, now that website does get access to the native APIs, accelerometer, address book. The difference here is that when you build a hosted application, right, where you actually are going back to the server and getting a full page refresh every time. Because you've got that server client relationship, you now no longer really have offline support, fundamentally speaking, right? Because you got to go back and you've got to rehydrate the full UI every time. And so, you know, I think that's probably the first and easiest step for a website developer to take their website, turn it into a Cordova app and get access to some of the things that they couldn't before. Like, now you've solved the discoverability problem, as much as you want to call it that, of having an icon on your home screen. You've also solved the problem that you did not before have access to native device capabilities. So let's say that you are you're building a package tracking application for a line of business application, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now you've got access to the camera, you've got access to the kind of barcode plugin for Apache Cordova, and so you can still have a website with access to that.
I see.
But none of your offline capabilities are there. And that's when, you know, like Ray was saying, and we've been talking about here, it's when you really got to start thinking about ways of reconfiguring, re-architecting your application so that it's more client-side heavy. You're really putting all of your assets packaged in within the application, and you're only returning back to the server for data posting and data fetch.
Awesome. So let's go to Carlos now, because I want to make sure that we get him in and we can talk a little bit about what his contributions are to the Apache Cordova project. And then we'll go a little bit, because I saw that there was multiple ways to do it. And it feels like there might be an optimal path for certain kind of use cases, whereas for other use cases, there might be a different optimal
path.
As
is always the case.
Yeah,
let's
and
go.
So we'd love to talk a little bit about that more. But Carlos, Let's get to you, buddy. Let's talk a little bit about what your contributions are, how you see the Apache Cordova project in your eyes.
Yeah, so the my contributions lately have evolved from novice developer writing on code, but there's many ways you can contribute in Apache Cordova. Things like people will start like testing, like reporting a problem. That's the best way that you can start contributing. So what we do here in IBM, since we use Apache Cordova for some of our products, we do the testing. So we do the testing of Apache Cordova with our product, and then if there's problems that they are found, we don't just fix them in our copy, right? That'd be one way of fixing the problem, fixing in our code, fixing our copy. We go back to Apache Cordova, report the problem, and also fix the problem and contribute it and make sure that it makes it in the next release of the open source release. So that's kind of the model that we follow here. Me personally, I am more in tune with the strategy of like what are the new features do we need to add to Apache Cordova that makes sense? What are the features that, because adding features is easy. The problem is maintaining them, right? And deprecate them and dropping them. So when you add an API and the API has a security exposure or we have to remove it, it will break a lot of people. So those are kind of my day-to-day concerns that when we go to Apache Cordova, like for example, going to NPM, what are the repercussions in there? How we change tools in that area? Also security vulnerabilities, CVEs, watching those and make sure that we cover those security aspects of the Cordova project. And also community. We have a Slack channel, so usually that's where we'll find me. So you can ask questions. We have users asking questions of like how to get started or something doesn't work. So driving them through the Apache Cordova process, where we have a Jira repository where you can report the problem. And once it's reported, we have also a mailing list. So there's a lot of activity in the mailing list. That's how we communicate. People that get engaged. And we use GitHub to put our source code out there visible, right? And people can send pull requests and go through all the process. So I'm more on the process architecture and roadmap things of how can we change Cordova or improve Cordova open source so then other upstream users like Microsoft with VS Code and their tools, IBM with their tools, many other customers or enterprises that leverage Apache Cordova, all of them benefit. In a way that we sustain it.
Carlos, you mentioned a couple of things there that I want to kind of underline and put exclamation points on.
Absolutely.
So you were talking quite a bit there about security. So this is like just kind of a public service announcement. Google Play just this last week issued an announcement that due to security vulnerabilities and versions of Cordova less than, I want to say it's 4.1. Ray, Carlos, you can fact check with me. Sorry?
411.
Thank you, sir. So Google Play will no longer accept applications submitted to the Google Play Store using versions of Cordova less than 4.1.1. That's now well over a year old. I forget what the actual date on that was. We're now at version 6. So if you still are using a project that makes use of Apache Cordova 4.1.1, now is the time for you to finally upgrade and get all of the security improvements, all of the new features, all of the additional platform support that has been added over the course of the last year.
Right.
So, upgrade, kids.
That's something that have caused a lot of confusion, at least on our customer set and out there is what version of Cordova is what? And a lot of people get confused. So this announcement that you're mentioning about Google Play is about Cordova Android platform, version 4.1.1. Don't confuse that with the Cordova CLI, which is at version 6. The latest version of Cordova platform Android is 5.1.0. So we as the community, that's also why the pinning helps, right? Pinning the platforms, pinning the plugins. So for those people that are not like granular in the versions, all the versions that we have for all components, they can at least rely on the Cordova CLI version, and that's kind of the tool that puts everything together. So we have an architecture in Cordova where we have a lot of components. Out of the hat, it would be like around 4 or 6 platforms. That each one has their own version. We have Cordova CLI, which has also Cordova Lib and Cordova Plugman. That's their own versions. And then we have around, I want to say, correct me, around 18 or 20 plugins, each one with their own version. So it can become a version nightmare out there. But we're gladly, now we have a good and a better Cordova website that I feel proud. Right, I feel proud and I applaud Microsoft guys that they have been contributing to that and improving it and making documentation better, readable, find what version I'm dealing with and then getting that information out there.
Yeah. So let me see if I can ask a question. By the way, we want your questions, so please have the questions come in. We'd love to have your questions. So we have some gentlemen from IBM, and we have some gentlemen from Microsoft. Why is Apache Cordova something that we want to sort of be involved with? What is it about Apache Cordova? Why is it? Because these gentlemen are working very hard on the roadmap. We're also working on sort of specking new things out in the Taco tools to make sure it gets into Apache Cordova. Why, if those that are watching, they might be like, why is Microsoft and IBM interested in contributing to Apache Cordova? We'll start with Ryan, and then we'll get to Raymond and Carlos, and obviously you as well.
Sure, yeah. So from my point of view, it's really because I go out and I talk to developers, and they say that that's what they want. In the end, we're in the business of enabling developers to create more awesome apps more quickly, more often, and just be better at their jobs. And when I go out there and I talk to developers and architects and CTOs and organizations at large, a lot of them are looking for ways to deliver apps quicker and at lower cost and using the tools that they already know and love. It so happens that Cordova is really good at meeting all of those goals because it ultimately leverages web technologies, and the web's, well, been around for a long time and has a fantastic community around it. Right. It's really good to kind of build upon the work of others, leverage all the kind of little open source nuggets that are out there in the web, and really achieve a lot quickly. It's also because you can leverage others' works. That means that, you don't have to spend time and therefore money coding it up. You get it out there faster. Many of us who come from a web development background, and let's face it, organizations and developers, that up until about 5 years ago was where the vast majority of the industry was pouring its resources into developing web applications and browser-based applications. Now, clearly, that has shifted over the course of the last 5 to 7 years. The amount of time that we, as consumers, as end users, spend in browsers has started to erode considerably as we spend more and more time in apps. But just because we spend more time in apps doesn't mean that we should abandon all of the progress that we've made using JavaScript and web technologies. They're called web technologies because of, more because that's where they were for the most of the time. But now JavaScript is in so many other places. You can now, as a JavaScript developer, you can do the full stack, right? You can write all of your server-side code, you can write all of your client-side code, and that enables developers to really do more, right? You don't have to hire multiple different people, multiple different skill sets into your team. You can just hire one guy or silo one guy, and he can build an app and he can do all of it without having to, really consume the time and the additional resources of going out and finding a Java specialist and a separate Swift specialist and a separate API services specialist, right? So doing more with less.
So we're getting a correction here from Brandon Webb. Correction of conversation. Yeah, please note that CLI 5.2.0 equals iOS 3.9.1, Android 4.1.1, and Windows 3.8.1. So there's people. I love it when people
are paying attention.
I love it.
Paying attention.
So we'll get over to Raymond. Again, the question is, why would companies like Microsoft and IBM be interested in contributing to something like the Apache Cordova project? Go ahead, Raymond.
Well, as soon as I own a company as large as Microsoft and IBM, I'll tell you why. I can comment from the little peon perspective that I am. I know, when I discovered that Microsoft was doing a lot of open source stuff, it changed my opinion of the company. Now, I'm just one person, but I think the more developers see a company participating in open source, sharing, just helping and not being everything about the bottom line, it just improves their image, and it's just nice. So I think there's a benefit for IBM, Microsoft, any company to at least spend some time contributing back, especially if you're actually making use of open source already. I think it's fair to say, you know, if we're making a lot of money from this, then we should spend some time giving back as well, either building new stuff or contributing to other projects just to help out. So I can't say that, oh, it will definitely earn Microsoft and IBM money, because I know nothing about business. Again, it makes people like me happy. And if that is your goal as a largish size company to make devs happy about what you're doing, then this is a great way of doing that, if that makes sense.
Awesome. Let's get to you. Tell us a little bit about sort of what the motivation is to sort of build the kind of tooling that we are building.
Yeah, so a big piece for our like Visual Studio developers, again, is reusing of the existing skills. Another big theme we hit for reuse is actually code reuse,
right,
or sharing across those different platforms, instead of having to uniquely build out a UI on each platform and learn a different programming stack, being able to take your JavaScript, HTML, and CSS skills and use them to build for each of the platforms.
Right.
That's a big thing we hear, especially to a lot of enterprise customers we'll talk with too, where you need to get that product out there, you want it to look good, but you also have a team of web developers who, you know, are already experts at this in-house. Well, they want to be able to reuse those skills and take those to build out the app, versus it can be tricky to find that right. iOS guy to hire and the Android guy to hire for the Android UI, and then how do you keep these two apps in sync with functionality? So
Feels like a sort of a natural progression, right? If you already are doing web stuff, the progression over to doing mobile stuff with Apache Cordova is going to be more natural than, say, you're going to Swift or Objective-C or Java, et cetera.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair.
And to be fair, if you go, just a point of clarification, because we hear this from time to time on people going from web to the mobile apps, if you are used to doing the client-side kind of app development with, say, Angular, mm-hmm. for a very popular JavaScript library, those kind of things transition straight into this client application model. So I just want to be clear on that, versus, you know, if you're going from being used to server request kind of based thing, that, yeah. you know, there's a little bit of a piece there. So I wouldn't want to, you know, make it sound like you just take your website,
right.
like we mentioned, alternate models there mm-hmm. you could use, but, yeah.
Carlos, with you, my friend, tell us, I mean, it seems like part of your work is setting direction for the Apache Cordova project. Tell us a little bit about why you're getting involved and why you think it's a cool thing.
Well, let me clarify. There's no charge or direction in open source. So the Apache Cordova goes by community, right? So what we think is that the community and the contributors and the committers agree to, then we move forward. So I don't want to get credit. I think that if you want to look for people driving this, would be more of the Adobe guys, which I'm very thank them for taking along this project. In terms of using Apache Cordova, it's like Ryan was saying, we have at least IBM has a lot of customers that their skill sets, their developers are web and JavaScript. And with Node.js, JavaScript is becoming like the tool to solve all problems for everything. But at the end of the day is we want to, when we go open source, and I think this is the era of open source, everything that you do around is open source. So we customers are used to do open source. So we are creating our client SDKs and making it open, right? Is when you make it open, you make it easy to use. When you make it easy to use, we don't have to have a conversation with developers about like how difficult it is to create a mobile app, how difficult it is to build it, how difficult it is to maintain it. That conversation goes like, well, it's super easy. Just use Apache Cordova or use this open source project, like was mentioning Angular, right? That's a framework that is open source. Ionic is another open source project, like all these open source projects components. So that's what I think I would say developers of this era are creating composable apps, right? They're composing apps out of different modules here and there. And if they're not in the what everybody's using, if they're not in NPM, they're not open source, they're not GitHub, it's going to be very difficult to do it in any other way. So I think that's the bottom line. We want to make the client side and building these apps as easy as possible and have a conversation about value, right? User experience, user engagement, how to move the business, how to secure your business, and not of like how difficult it is to do the client-side app or to do the mobile app.
Yeah, I actually I really like the point that you're making there, because open source is not just about removing financial barriers. open source is also about removing barriers for ease of use and adoption, right? When a project goes open source and you've got multiple ginormous organizations like IBM and Microsoft and Adobe and Google contributing to it, like that means that you've got a broad coalition of partners contributing to making kind of a single platform. Like all of the onboarding materials, right? You've now got multiple organizations and hundreds of independent developers who are all contributing to showing newcomers to the project and to the platform how to use it. You've got large organizations all contributing to doing things like improving security and reliability and quality. And so developers encounter fewer roadblocks and fewer quirks that make it, you know, make us all want to tear our hair out because we're, you know, not sure if it's our code or the platform's code. When you have an open source project, a lot of that, I mean, like, it's still technology, so all those problems still exist to some degree, but it is not in the same way that a closed system might, where you've got fewer contributors, fewer eyes on the product, really not just contributing to it, but also critically evaluating it and critically pointing out, hey, problem here, problem here, problem here, so that we can collectively create a good backlog of work and deliver a more reliable, higher quality platform. And I think, you know, that is why Microsoft and IBM and Adobe, I'm speaking a bit for the Adobe guys here, but because I know them pretty well, I think I can safely say, like, that we as businesses, as software makers and tool makers, value open source projects like Apache Cordova, because we know that together we can accomplish more and we can help our customers accomplish more.
Awesome. So now I'm convinced, right? I'm the dev. I'm convinced.
Did I give you the hard sell? I'm sorry, but it wasn't trying to be a sell.
But I love it, right? I'm convinced. But here's the problem that I run into. There are so many JavaScript frameworks. There's Aurelia. There's Angular. Angular 2. There's React. React Native. There's this other thing, and then there's this new thing. I mean, you guys have all seen the sign that we have gone 0 days without a new JavaScript framework. If I'm going to start,
JavaScript also,
what is your recommendation for saying, okay, Seth is convinced he's going to write his next mobile application using Apache Cordova. Let's just say I'm just an ordinary dev. Yeah. Where should I, and I'm going to direct this to Raymond because he does a lot of the good documentation. Yeah. Where do I even begin to start thinking about how to just start it up? And again, I'm a developer, so talk to me like I'm a dev.
Yeah, so I want to upset some people here. And I kind of want to argue the point that being open makes it easier to adopt, because I think I don't think you can just say that, because I've encountered far too many projects that are open source and just poorly documented, very hard to use. It's something that I think people forget how crucial it is. Mm-hmm. And as much as I like open source, you know, the capital O, capital S.
Yeah.
I take an extremely pragmatic approach to it. And if I have to pay for something that's closed and proprietary that gets the job done and is easy to understand, then I absolutely 100% definitely will. So again, I mean, my background was 10 plus years using a proprietary app server, ColdFusion, because for a long time it was, at least in my opinion, a very practical, easy to use app server. Now, times have changed, and the open source solutions, I think, have passed that up quite a bit. But for a long time, I had absolutely no problem saying, I don't care if that's closed source, I don't care that it costs money, I am 100 times more productive in this technology. So I get nervous when you say that, you know, something as open source is going to be easier to use, because I don't think that's always true, and I think we can't rely on that at all. We need to make sure that, you know, if I'm doing project X and I have five engineers doing the code, then I want five or more people doing documentation, doing community outreach, doing everything that's outside of writing lines of code per day. And, you know, making sure that things are easy to understand. Does that Makes sense.
So let me refine my statement, because I think this is a super, super good conversation, right? At least from my point of view, the open source process has more potential for generating higher quality software. That is not to say that every open source project is easy to use, because the words hell no come to mind. I mean, like, there's plenty of just crappy open source projects out there. What I do think is that by providing a legal framework, if you will, or a licensing framework that enables more organizations to cooperate, that open source has the right systems to create larger teams where those larger teams can produce higher quality software through cooperation.
Right.
Does that make sense?
So on that, I think you're absolutely right. I think we have the foundation to build better projects. I don't think we've gone far enough on that. So yeah, you're right on the legal aspect. It's easier for a company like IBM to say, hey, we can release this under, you know, MIT or Apache or whatever.
Yeah.
And legally, you know, we're kind of safe there. And things like GitHub have made it easier to put the code up there and have people contribute to that. Mm-hmm. I think we need more, is what I'm saying. And I don't necessarily have the answer to what that is. But I started to work on a tool a while ago that would look at a GitHub repo and look at, like, you know, how quickly are people responding to issues. It didn't really look at documentation, but I would love to see GitHub push more in terms of, like, telling you, like, maybe you forgot that this project has 20 open issues because you just life. You kind of help you, you know, hit the things that are outside lines of code.
I would actually, I'm going to give a small little plug here for a service that is no official affiliation with either Microsoft or IBM, but there's a company called BitHound.io that does a lot of really great validation of open source projects so that you can have a better window into the overall quality of an open source project, and they'll do everything from analyze open issues, activity on the project, known security issues, and they'll actually go all the way down the NPM dependency tree. So for people who are trying to evaluate the overall health of both their own project and the projects on which they want to depend, BitHound is doing some really cool stuff there. It so happens that at least one of the guys who is kind of spearheading this organization is one of the original developers of the Ripple browser-based simulator.
Cool. So
they're continuing to do super cool stuff.
So now as we're kind of getting low on time, we have about maybe 13, 14 minutes.
Sure.
Let's start with the original question is, okay, I'm convinced. Yeah. What is it, I mean, how do I get started? Where should I go look? And the reason why I directed the question to Raymond is because I heard that your documentation is fantastic. And so if you could maybe in 60 seconds say, look, if you're a dev and you're already used to using Sublime or you're already used to using Visual Studio Code or Visual Studio, here are some pointers to get you off in the right direction. What would those pointers be, Raymond?
I was paying attention, so I totally understand. Can you say it one more time?
Yeah, so I'm convinced and I want to get started, what are some things that I can do as a developer to just sort of dive in? I mean, because there's like to get your toe wet because you're excited, but then there's the jumping in and like, okay, I'm going to get adjusted. How do I actually jump in now that I'm convinced that this is something I should be doing?
So typically the advice I have for any new technology, Cordova or Node.js or whatever, I'm just a big believer in just building a bunch of crap. You know, don't worry about building a real product, or, you know, don't worry about building something that already exists. So for example, when I was learning Node.js, I built a blog engine, and I would never go into production with that because WordPress is done or just static, whatever. But I know what a blog does. So I spend zero time thinking about functionality because we all know what blogs do. And I spend 100% of my time with that functionality. So for Cordova, you could build a Twitter clone. You could build a Facebook clone. And again, that's not something that you really want to sell, but it's something that where you know how it works, you know the functionality, and you can quickly start playing with it. I'm a big fan of just building a bunch of stuff and just having fun with it, you know, seeing what you could create.
So in the last 10 minutes, because we have about 10 minutes, recently there was a conference for Apache Cordova a couple weeks ago, if I remember right.
10 days ago.
There were some new things that came out. Can we talk about the new things and then maybe future of Apache Cordova now that we've got some contributors to the project? What were some cool things that we should talk about that came out last 10 days ago, and then what is the future direction? We'll start with you, Ryan.
Yeah, wow, so that was actually a super, super fun conference, first of all. Like, I had a great time there. There were 2 days, one at PhoneGap Day, there was a workshop day, and then it was followed by a single-track conference. Some of the highlights for me, Shaz, who is really, he's from Adobe. He is the keeper of the iOS platform primarily at Adobe. He had this really cool experiment, really cool prototype that would dynamically update native code in your application without having to resubmit through the store. And this was like, you could see everyone's minds kind of like twerking around and trying to understand how exactly he was doing this black magic. But that you can leverage something that is similar to PhoneGap Content Sync or Microsoft's Code Push, which essentially allows you to dynamically update web assets, HTML, CSS, JavaScript images. That's always been one of the really rare and somewhat unfair advantages of Cordova and React Native and Native Script, that you can update your app without having to resubmit through the store. And that Shaz was really kind of pioneering a way to be able to do this for native code as well was pretty, pretty interesting. Now, I want to caveat that by saying that it meant that it would only work for enterprise, like private store submissions, because the certificate has to be signed by developer license and not the store license, right? So that was one cool thing. Also, we talked about VS Code earlier. Mm-hmm. On the Microsoft side of things, I was really elated to kind of launch that product, and so that's Cordova Tools extension for VS Code essentially provides IntelliSense, Command Palette integration, and debugging features for Apache Cordova projects inside of VS Code. And that one, actually, I think I asked in the conference about how many people were already using VS Code for their primary development environment. And I think, Ray, you tweeted about 50% or so of people raised their hand for it, somewhere around there.
Yeah. So I raised my hand at home.
I didn't hear you there, Carlos. Say that again.
I raised my hand at home.
You raised your hand? 51%. One more.
The good thing about the VS Code extension for Cordova Tools is open source, so that's what I've been reading this weekend of how to create the extension, and the fact that it uses TypeScript, is open source, it's in GitHub. Anyone can create an extension, right? And you guys did the Taco extension, and it's out there to be cloned and enhanced and even submit pull requests. So that's what I talk about open source, right? People getting that code, see it, open a pull request, open a bug, try it out, learn from it. So that's what I was doing this weekend, learning about the extension and how can I create my own extensions for VS Code for IBM stuff. So.
How'd it go? Did you have a pretty good time? Was it easy?
Yeah, it's TypeScript, listening to events, launching. So I have a few more questions on it, but so far that's my favorite editor, VS Code.
Nice, dude. Well, if you have questions, send them our way.
We know people.
And then, there was one other thing that I was personally excited to announce, which was that we also launched an experiment. It's proof of concept at this point, but it seemed to get, I was excited about it, and the people that I talked to seem to be excited about it. This is the ACE plugin. And ACE plugin is essentially addresses a problem that we've heard from a lot of Cordova developers, that they want to be able to bring in native UI controls for select components within their application. So let's say, for example, that you want a full screen overlay on top of your application. You know how, like, in iOS, sometimes you'll get the cool, blurry, semi-transparent mm-hmm. overlay, and you've got a chooser over it. Or let's say that you want a slide-in hamburger menu. For those kind of, features that you really want to have that native look and feel, and you don't want to, for whatever reason, leverage HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, you want it to feel like the system created it. ACE plugin essentially allows you to invoke native UI controls from within your JavaScript. So you can either declare them imperatively through JavaScript, or you can declare them declaratively through essentially XML markup.
Right.
And that takes a kind of it really takes a lot of the burden off of developers who need to fine-tune the performance of a particular UI control. If they really want to leverage kind of all of the native UI for common elements that need to be silky, buttery smooth without having to fuss with any of the 60 frames per second and monitoring it and, you know, Chrome debugger to see what your frames per second are. This is a good escape hatch for that.
Ryan,
yeah,
a real customer use case, and I talk to customers that build Cordova apps,
yeah.
is login screen. And that's some customers, and a lot of customers are building financial apps.
Yeah.
Mostly, that's what I talk to. The only thing that they want that is native, and they're okay using Cordova, and they know it today, but it's not as easy as ACE. So I'm very excited about looking into ACE. They're doing their own custom native into the Cordova app.
Yeah.
And the only thing that they do is the login screen, because they want that first user experience when the app comes up. They want mm-hmm. it fast, and they want that login screen and the button and more information to be native. And then
yeah.
the content is the same content as the website, right? Is it a store? Is it a warehouse? Data warehouse? That information could be web, and it could be really, really good user experience with CSS. But that first user experience, maybe the animation with the splash screen when the app comes up and the login screen for the username and password, most of the customers, that's the only thing that they want for native. So this ACE project, I'm very excited that it's open source, that I can point people to it, and the most good thing is it works with the Cordova CLI and the tooling. Others
yep.
have done it, but it's like they're messed up the Android project or the EXO project. This one is as a plugin, so it follows the architecture, so you can smoothly add it and then use it or remove it, right? So that's what I'm excited. So actually, those are the three things I'm most excited about PhoneGap Day. So I'm looking forward for the videos to come out soon and share with folks.
Yeah, I just gave my slide deck to the organizers yesterday, so I think they got a blog post coming up soon. So everyone check the PhoneGap blog. They should be posting videos.
We should make cool a video on Project ACE. Oh, wait, we did.
Oh.
Should be coming out soon. It's in the hopper right now. We're pretty excited about that. So we've got a couple of minutes left, and this was the channel. This was the Connect, Visual Studio Connect Live, Taco Q&A. Let's spend the last couple of minutes talking about what the Taco tools are, why they're interesting, and how everyone can use them. So let's start with you, my friend.
Yeah, Taco tools. So from the Visual Studio perspective, if you're comfortable doing web development in Visual Studio today, your manager comes up and you got to get a mobile app done by the end of the week or maybe your weekend, the tools are there for you, leveraging stuff you're already familiar with. Mm-hmm. If you're on a Mac and you want some things like debugging experience when working with Cordova, maybe IntelliSense, some helpers in building out your apps, then we've got the Visual Studio Code Editor plus the Cordova extension there.
Mm-hmm.
And the command line we mentioned as well, the Taco command line, we've got some other experiments in there lately around integrating live reload and device sync experiences that let you more quickly push your changes out, say to a browser while you're developing, and also like synchronizing devices as you're testing, being able to kind of get a a faster experience of pushing error changes to a device and testing it locally.
So just to finish up, because we're out of time, 15 seconds from each of our guests on why you should now consider this, because there's some apprehension that I've heard, maybe there's a slowness issue, but I don't think there is anymore with what's going on in our browsers inside of our mobile devices. What's your pitch for starting to look at Apache Cordova? 15 seconds and finish up. We'll start with you, Ryan.
It's a project that's been around for 6 years. It's stable, it's reliable, it has some of the largest organizations in the world both contributing to it and using it. And the tooling, because it's essentially web tooling in the end, is mature as you can possibly get for developer tools. So you can be productive and you can get it done.
Awesome. Raymond, you're up, bud.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the exact same thing he did.
copy him.
It's very mature. Can reuse the skills you already have. It's open to whatever framework you like, jQuery mobile, Ionic, you know, whatever you like to get things done, it works with it. Mature, stable, yeah, do it.
All right, we'll go to Carlos. You're up, bud.
Web developer. So if you're a web developer and you're a web developer shop, I think Cordova is the foundation to a lot of other tools that upstream. So that's the choice. It's not saying that native is bad or difficult. It's a skill. So if you have the skill for web development and you're already doing web development, why not keep doing what you're doing and be productive, right?
Awesome. Jordan, you're rounding us out, bud.
Closing it out, like everybody said, we'll plus one it with a comment from a guy I know now who I'll consider a friend, Sphere, a customer of ours, who had an idea for an app and was able to use the Visual Studio tools and on his own time over a few weekends released a pretty cool running application just using what he already knew of Visual Studio and web development tools. So
awesome. Well, thanks so much. Again, this is Visual Studio Connect Live on Taco Tools. Thank you to Jordan, Ryan, Carlos, and Raymond, our remote guests also, and then here also at Microsoft. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Thanks for watching and hope you'll catch us next time. Take care.
Thanks much.
Thanks.